Good morning. Our gospel reading is Jesus' mic drop. He says this profound statement, drops the mic, and walks away. And I think, to understand the immensity of what Jesus says in this little line, we really have to step back into first century Palestine, into a first century Jew, to really understand why would Jesus say this one line, and why did he choose this reading? The time of Christ, as I've preached to you before, there was this ardent expectation of another Moses, a new Messiah, another King David. They were waiting like on pins and needles for this person to arrive. So much so that when you look back in the historic records, Jesus is not the only Messiah that comes onto the scene. There's actually many different people that have this following around them, and then they end up dying and they don't rise from the dead. So Jesus wasn't the only one that people saw in expectation, because within kind of the throbbing heart of Israel at the time is this waiting. We're waiting for the Messiah. Jesus then chooses a passage from the prophet Isaiah. Now, among all the prophets, Isaiah is probably the one who speaks the most about the coming Messiah. He's the one who prophesies probably the most about this anticipation, and that soon a new Moses, a new King David, will arise. And so we hear Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free." All of these things is what the Messiah is going to do. He rolls up the scroll, everyone's looking intently at him, and he says, "Today, these things, this anticipation, this longing in your heart is fulfilled in your hearing." Mic drop. He walks away. Think of being a Jew in that synagogue, how your mind would have been, whoa, what is he saying? How does he mean that right here in this present moment, all the hopes and desires, the anticipation of the longing of Israel is brought to fulfillment today? And he even presses it further, in your hearing. Not within the next week, not within over the course of 3 years, not once I'm dead on the cross. He literally says, now. Because you have come into the presence of him who has made everything. I think many of us find ourselves waiting life away. We're waiting for the next thing to happen to then get on with life. Once I graduate school, once I get married, once I get a promotion, once I get over this illness, once this relationship in my family gets mended, you can name whatever it is. But we always find ourselves kind of waiting for spring to come. Then I'll live. And so in effect, we wait our life away. The fulfillment of your desire is given to you today. That's profound. There's a great saint, Saint Jean, I'm going to butcher his last name, but Cusaid. He wrote a book called The Abandonment to Divine Providence. And in it, he has a wonderful term, which he says, the sacrament of the present moment. We know the seven sacraments, baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, these ways through which the invisible reality of divine life is given to us in a very physical way, because we're bodies, and so we need that physicality. Well, St. John, he says, there's a sacrament of the present moment. That in the present moment, the now of today, grace comes to me. And this is why his teaching on the abandonment to divine providence is so powerful. Because what he's saying there is, no matter what comes my way, What suffering, no matter what season I find myself in life, I'm precisely in the moment where God can come to me. See, you and I, we escape the present moment all the time. Living in the past, anticipating the future, or addicted to things like this. We're constantly evading the one place God shows up. Where is it? Now. Right now. The future doesn't exist. The past is gone. Where is he? Now. Every collect prayer, I end with the same kind of conclusion, and it says, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived 2,000 years ago. Wait, that's not what I say. I say, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives presently, alive. I think that's a truth that you and I always must come back to. Our Lord is alive. He's not a memory lost to gone by ages. He's not just up in the heavens somewhere and eventually we will be there with him. The teachings of the church is this heavenly reality presses upon us in this very concrete moment. And the more I press in to the concrete moment, I find God. The sacrament of the present moment. I think the invitation that Jesus gave those listening to him 2,000 years ago is the same invitation he has for us today. Wherever we find ourselves, even in the greatest of sufferings, even in the places of great doubt or lack of faith, God is present. And we're not called to run away. But rather with a great courage, press in to the moment we find ourselves. I promise you, the more we can let go of the future, let go of the past, and open our eyes wide to the now, the one thing I will find, even amidst the suffering, is God. Because God is the eternal now. And he only exists presently. You and I are called to begin to acquire a heart that can abandon ourselves into his divine providence.